Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Internet users around the world facing widespread disruption today because of a problem with Amazon's cloud computing service. Dozens of major online services and apps were down this morning. Folks on Snapchat, Fortnite, the McDonald's app, all reporting problems. A manhunt taking place across France following the jewel heist at the Louvre. Arthur Brand is a Dutch art investigator. He calls it the theft of the decade at the museum.
Targeting the Louvre, the world's most famous museum. It's as bad as it gets, especially for France, but also for the entire world.
The museum was supposed to be open again today, but it remains closed. Prince Andrew will still be a prince, but he's no longer the Duke of York anymore. Andrew agreeing to stop using his titles following years of suspicious business deals, inappropriate behavior, and his friendship with Jeffrey Epstein and others. President Trump says the U.S. could soon purchase beef from Argentina as a way to bring prices down. This is ABC News.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for the Midwest Farm Report with me, Pam Yonke.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. State lawmakers are introducing new legislation seeking to expand access to dual enrollment programs for high school students. The programs allow high school students to earn high school and college credits at the same time, but schools in areas that are smaller, more rural, or have higher rates of poverty are less likely to offer the courses. The dual enrollment reform bill seeks to make those programs more accessible with an online portal through the Department of Workforce Development and an oversight council with members from other education agencies. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reminding residents traveling along roadways, waterways, and recreational trails this fall to remember the move-over law. According to a press release, DNR wardens patrol a wide variety of terrain, and the move-over law is meant to prevent possible collisions with stopped emergency vehicles or workers. The DNR is also reminding residents that state law requires them to slow down when approaching a stopped ATV or UTV on trails, as well as near patrol boats with their blue lights or siren on. The St. Croix Valley Foundation has announced the launch of a new grant program for nonprofits serving western Wisconsin and eastern Minnesota. The Nonprofit Capacity Building Grant Program will distribute $3.5 million of funding to help area nonprofits become more efficient and sustainable. Officials say nonprofits in the area are under heavy strain, facing persistent staffing shortages with limited budgets and turnover in leadership positions. More information on eligibility for the grant funding is available on the St. Croix Valley Foundation website. With new state legislative districts set to go into effect for the 2026 election, Wisconsin State Senator Romaine Quinn has announced he will seek re-election in the newly drawn 23rd State Senate District. State Senator Quinn currently represents the 25th State Senate District, covering the counties in the more northern parts of western Wisconsin like Ashland, Burnett, and Sawyer counties. The new 23rd State Senate District is located a little further to the south, including Rusk, Price, and Barron counties, as well as parts of Chippewa and Dunn counties. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The Packers beat the Cards.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports from Arizona, where the Green Bay Packers held on to win last night 27-23 over the Cardinals. The road trip began with a five-hour flight delay when the team plane had mechanical problems on the ground in Green Bay. Matt LaFleur.
From the moment we got on the trip, nothing seemed to go right to end game. There was a lot of things that didn't go right, but the guys kept battling, and that's what it takes in this league.
Packers running back Josh Jacobs had 13 carries for 55 yards, scoring twice, including the winning touchdown, despite dealing with the flu and a calf injury.
They really didn't really want me to play today. It was one of them things where I kind of had to convince them. You also got to know who you're talking to. I'm one of them guys, man, if I feel like I can spin and I'm not going to hurt the team by trying to, you know, play, then I'm going to go out there and give it everything I got.
College football, the Badgers losing to Ohio State 34-0. A report says if Wisconsin decides to fire Luke Fickell, they would owe the coach $25 million in a contract buyout. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, home of the Midwest Farm Report.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A breezy day with some showers developing in the afternoon, highs near 60. For tonight, some showers mainly in the evening, breezy with a low near 40. On Tuesday, some showers likely mainly during the first half of the day, breezy and raw, a high of only 45. Current temperature is 43.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for youth.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals into your body.
And nicotine, which can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media.
Many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping.
Because when you talk, they hear you.
Learn more at underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Amy Gaither, director of a new show at the Festival Theater in St. Croix Falls. Then Eric and Adam from Ask Your Mother drop by to rock the studio. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Buck, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our home here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up on the show, government shutdown continues. I believe it is day 20.
Day who knows.
And Brian Stile and Gwen Moore were on WISN's Upfront over the weekend. We will talk about their appearance and their differing opinions on the government shutdown.
Yeah.
In hour number two, right after the top of the hour news at 10:06, we're going to talk about George Santos.
Yeah.
And his commutation. George Santos convicted of wire fraud. A couple other things.
First of all, it's day 20 of the shutdown.
It's day 20.
And what was George Santos? Oh, right there. They fill it out for me. 87 months for wire fraud and aggravated identity theft. I need someone to explain to me the difference between aggravated identity theft and just plain flavored identity theft.
I'm not quite sure what the enhancement is.
But he's a criminal.
Yeah, he is a criminal, but it's all good.
Why?
It's all good because President Trump commuted his sentence over the weekend.
Whew.
I know, thank goodness. We'll talk about that after the 10 o'clock news. And then Kristi Noem gets two private jets for her own personal use as she's traveling around the country taking photo ops, apparently. We have no money, of course.
No
we
money.
Have no money for SNAP. We have no money for, you know, Meals on Wheels and anything, American health care or anything like that. But we got money for this.
We got money
and
for this.
And we had $40 billion for Argentina. But as the president says, we just don't get it.
No.
We just don't get why we should be giving Argentina $40 billion.
And not $20 billion. It was $20 billion when it started.
It was.
Now it's $40
billion. Now it's $40 billion. We'll kick that around in hour number two for the last half an hour of the show, as we always do. We try and lighten it up with a segment we call Audio Sorbet, where we take a breath. Breakfast Wars.
Breakfast Wars, yeah.
Boy, an argument broke out this morning.
It was not an argument. It was a heated debate with passionate takes and points made.
Over breakfast.
And I'm right and everyone else is wrong. So that's just the point.
Sweet, savory, what are the rules when it comes to breakfast? We're going to be talking about our breakfast preferences.
Yes.
Today is chicken and waffles day. That's where this all started.
Where's your take on chicken and waffles too? Let us know in the comments. Text us 855-752-4842 or go on the app and do that. Let us know. I want to know what you think of, because chicken and waffles is a divisive.
It is.
It's a very divisive breakfast.
Ooh.
Actually, it's not even a breakfast either. It can be anytime.
It could be whenever. Yeah, yeah. And then we'll wrap up the show as we always do with this shouldn't be a thing, utterly tubular edition. Stay tuned for that. We did want to start off, though. If you were at a No Kings rally over the weekend, we would love to hear from you. 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Did you attend a No Kings rally on Saturday? In case we have forgotten,
yeah,
here's a little compilation of what the Republicans said about what was going to happen and who was going to be at the No Kings rallies on Saturday. Kevin, just for a little memory refresher, let's play that clip, please.
This No Kings rally this weekend, you know, that's the blue hair anthropomorphic, you know, experiment that's going to happen up here in Washington, D.C.
I encourage you to watch. We call it the Hate America rally that will happen Saturday. Let's see who shows up for that. I bet you see pro-Hamas supporters. I bet you see Antifa types. I bet you see the Marxist in full display, the people who don't want to stand and defend the foundational truths of this republic.
Yeah, this crazy No Kings rally this weekend, which is going to be the farthest left, the hardest core, the most unhinged in the Democratic Party, which is, you know, a big title. And, you know, No Kings equal no paychecks.
No Kings equal no paychecks. But
clearly, the Democrat Party of today is not your grandfather's Democrat Party. They care about one thing and one thing only. Appeasing the radical pro-terrorist wing of their party.
You know, the same crowd planning to protest at their I Hate America rally this weekend.
Well, one of the things that I hope Cash Patel and Pam Bondi are looking into is the funding of these groups. You know, who pays for the buses to bus a lot of these folks?
Yeah.
Who pays for the trucks that have riot gear
what?
That they hand out to the peaceful protesters?
What?
Again, I hope they are peaceful here, the No Kings protest, whatever. But again, it's absurd.
They hand out riot gear to protesters?
There's so much about this. Well, yeah, the frog suits and the thing. We're getting a report here of someone who was at the No Kings protest wearing a unicorn hoodie.
Yeah.
That sounds like riot gear to me, Jane. Can you explain to me why and who made this person have been?
I was out there wearing a unicorn. I know.
You're the hardest core of Antifa.
Well, yeah, pretty much. First of all, because someone texted in and said, can you explain what Antifa is?
Yes, of course.
Antifa stands for anti-fascist.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. No fascism.
Yep.
Which is the antithesis of a democratic republic.
Correct.
So Antifa is basically no to fascism.
And to be clear, straightforward, and absolutely playing with this, there is no Antifa organization.
There is no head of Antifa.
There is no organized front of Antifa.
There's no board of directors.
There is no steering committee for Antifa. There's not even a party planning committee. It's just groups of people who have this thing in common, who protest, who show up, who voice their opinion. Can things get a little rocky? Can things get violent? Can things go out of hand? Yes, they can. That is, we're not denying that that can't happen when Antifa's name is brought up. But that's for a different conversation, because that's not what happened this weekend. As far as I know, from what I've seen, everything was sparkling and fun and beautiful and a great time.
It was a wonderful experience. My sister and I went to the No Kings rally in Brookfield.
Mm-hmm.
We were lined up on both sides of Blue Mound Road.
Yeah.
It was very, very positive.
Yes.
And people who love this country.
Yes.
And love our democratic institutions and would like to see democracy go for another 250 years.
Oh, that sounds like it'd be great.
Doesn't that sound like a good thing? That seems like a good thing.
And with that whole clip we played, it's just very, like, if these weren't people who are demanding to be taken seriously and being paid with our money, it'd be funny to listen to them talk about it. First of all, it's anthropomorphic, not anthropomorphic. Sorry, that's not the word. But also, it's just listening them try to get hepped up about this when I know they really don't care, because they're winning anyways. They're in charge. They're getting our money. We're paying them all these things. And listening to them say these really ridiculous stereotypes. The blue, when I was raised, when I was a kid, Jane, the blue hairs were old ladies. Now apparently they're Antifa.
Oh,
yeah. Congratulations. Now you know. But it's
the
just
the senior wing of Antifa.
But saying these ridiculous things that just, I mean, there's not even passion behind their voices talking about these protests and how much they dislike it. They're just, they don't care. Meanwhile, these people take time out of their day. I don't, you said what, 7 million?
7 million people.
7
around
million
the country.
Around the country stood up and said no to this. And it just, it really, I don't know. That clip really bugs me because it just, they don't care as much as they want you to believe they do. They don't care that people are protesting because they're still getting paid. They're still doing nothing. Day 20 of the shutdown.
Well, I do think they care.
You do?
I do. I think 7 million people is not something you can just go, oh, this is nobody.
Yeah.
And I think, because again, at least from people I have spoken with and people that I talk to out there, there were Republicans out there on Saturday.
Okay. So as far as like Republicans who are against what's going on?
Against what's going on.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, and that's the question I asked you and I asked everybody, and I don't know how or if we're going to be able to do this, is the amount of people from the inauguration this year who supported Trump to June when we had the last rally to now, how many more have moved the needle towards, like, it's not even a matter of like, I was wrong. It's a matter of like, this is not right. This is not what I voted for.
This is not what I voted for.
Even though there is an argument to be made, this is exactly what you voted for, because they weren't shy in what they were going to do. They made it very clear what they wanted to do. But that's not the point. The point, honestly, is that if you realize you've come to a place where you cannot deal with what's happening anymore and you cannot stand for it, this is what people are doing now. They stand up. And I would love to know how many people who marched this weekend a year ago were pro-Trump, who pro-MAGA.
855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We'll take you in order here. Jack from Merrimack. Good morning, Jack. Thanks for joining us. What do you want to say about this?
Yeah, well, I was at the Antifa demonstration on the bridge in Sauk City. And Sauk City's population officially is 3,444. I'll bet 10% of Sauk City was there.
Wow. That's
amazing.
At least 300 people. It lined across the bridge, which goes all the way across the Wisconsin River, which is quite wide at that point. And it went to the east of the bridge, which was not in town, and to the west end of the bridge. The only reason why they stopped was because that's a major intersection. And there were police there. There were people going by in their cars, everybody from Mack truck trailer combinations, down to motorcycles, beeping their horns and in support. Every once in a great while, somebody would come by and they would throw us the bird.
Yeah.
And everybody would smile and cheer and wave,
yeah.
Which I thought was really pretty funny. But this is important.
Mm-hmm.
We are Antifa. We have no charter. We have no group meetings. We have no membership list. We have no membership card.
Right.
We have no headquarters building. We aren't organized by anybody. We may be Democrats, Republicans, independents, but we're united in this, to point out and resist fascist authoritarianism,
yep.
Just as our fathers and grandfathers were united, and many of them died. My dad lived through it, but he was a master sergeant in the Army in 1944.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, Jack.
And I'm glad you brought that up. That's the thing, too, is that Antifa doesn't mean liberal or conservative. It doesn't mean any of that. It means people who want to fight fascists. And our fathers and grandfathers and grandmothers and mothers fought against a particularly bad person back about 80 years ago. And it just blows my mind to think, what would they be thinking looking at some of these individuals now who are saying, yeah, you know what I really like? I like this idea is Trump is a king doing what he wants and really just, I don't know, just having his way with our money and our country and our people. I really wonder what they would have stood up for or if they would have marched as well.
Jim and Troy, I see you. We will take you on the other side. You can join us as well, 855-752-4842. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Federal budget cuts mean bad news for Wisconsin's trout populations. That's because the budget slashes funding for the USGS Ecosystem Mission Area. It's the primary program that works to control invasive sea lampreys. The parasitic fish have caused billions of dollars in damage to Great Lakes fisheries, but that trend had been reversing in recent years thanks to work and research that is now being dismantled. Leaves are falling, and now is a great time to rake them up, put them in bags, and have them trucked off to the landfill. Actually, that's not so great for the environment. Turns out fallen leaves are where pollinators like to spend the winter, and they can also help fertilize your lawn. UW Extension experts say most of the time, it's best just to leave the leaves where they fall. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's most pressing environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Maybe what's happening at the school board needs to be disrupted.
Jim Santel and Joan Esposito, the Wisconsin teacher losing their job because of a social media post. The teacher's tweet disrupted the district's operations.
Judge says that overcomes the right of the teacher to speak publicly.
What if this were 60 years ago and she were putting up a post about desegregating the school?
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org, a message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Buck, Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. We are talking about Saturday's No King rallies. Across the country, estimates 7 million people turned out. Last week, of course, all the Republicans were saying that the people who would show up for this are all, they all hate America and they're violent terrorists. And oh my God, the humanity. And then on Saturday, as videos started coming in from some of these rallies around the country, I was seeing right-wing commenters saying, what, it's just a bunch of old people who can't dance. So which is it? Are we violent, anti-American, scary terrorists? Or are we rhythmically challenged senior citizens? I'm confused.
I think the ultimate takeaway of all of this is that no matter what it is, no matter who it is, whether it's blue hair anthropomorphics or blue-haired ladies or scary people in riot gear, I think it's just that you're scary. You're scary to them. You are, I mean, and I say you are because you went, Jaina.
I know.
And others did. You are the example of the dissent that they fear. What? They fear it so much. They want to believe so badly that either A, no one has a problem with it, or that anyone who does is going to keep quiet. Because what else are you going to do? Well, they're going to stand up every time. And they have themselves to blame for the population of the rallies. This, because you said it last week. Why were there so many people? Because they said
everybody who's going to be there hates America.
Exactly.
I mean, okay.
They made that claim.
855-752-4842. Jim from Brookfield, thank you for your patience, Jim. Were you right at the rally Saturday?
Yes, I did not make the Brookfield one, Jane, and I'm sorry I missed you there, but we spent the weekend up at a friend's lake cabin. We went up Friday night near Montello, Wisconsin. It's just north of Portage, kind of near Packwaukee. It literally is off the beaten path. However, we did have some signs made up. Our friend made up some signs on her printer, and we went there at noon, right at the only traffic light in the area. In downtown, quote unquote, downtown Montello, right where the waterfalls are. And there were about 200 plus, probably 250 people lining that intersection up and down. I mean, it went on for blocks and it was very peaceful, obviously great weather. Mm-hmm. Most 90% of the cars, 9 out of 10 that went by, even the truckers, they were beeping, showing support. They were saying, yes, no kings. We had, for the full hour I was there, maybe two or three middle fingers saying, Trump rules. But that was the minority. They had signs for those who didn't bring them. They had some ready available signs. We did pass on the riot gear. We didn't take that. But anyway, I was talking to an Iraqi war vet who had voted for Republican and voted for Trump, and he said, this is it. It's too much for me. Mm-hmm. He said, I didn't go over there into Iraq and fight for, for what's going on now.
Yeah.
Yeah, appreciate it, Jim. Thank you so much. Thanks for the report on the ground in Montello. That's great. Troy from Mount Horeb on the line. Good morning, Trey. Thank you so much for sharing all those pictures. How are you doing this morning?
Yes. You saw my Antifa.
Yes, I did. You were dressed up like a cow.
Yes, I was. The pumpkin seller across the street was really upset about that. So, he said, what kind of a man would dress like that in public? And you must be gay. And
oh, jeez. Like
that. Wow, that's aggressive.
Yeah. And I'm thinking, you must be gay is not the insult anymore that you think it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Yeah, come up with something new, dude.
You must be gay.
No, I'm not.
That's a real old insult. Yeah. You gotta up your game a little bit.
Exactly.
No, thank you so much, Troy, for all the photos. And I saw in one article, and I can't find it right now, but because someone said to me, why are you wearing a unicorn cape?
Yeah.
And I said, because I think it's important to mock. Mockery is an important weapon.
Satire is an important weapon.
Yeah. And I saw someone in this article, they called it tactical frivolity.
There you go.
I love that term, tactical frivolity.
I believe, especially in these situations, it makes the powers that be upset when you stand up. It makes them even more upset when they see you doing it together and having fun while doing it, because essentially you are making fun of them. And power doesn't like to be made fun of when we are in this kind of landscape of quote unquote democracy.
They're so sensitive.
It's like Jane, if they were like a thing that fell from the sky, once it hit the pavement, it melted.
Is that, snowflake.
Snowflake. Yeah. Exactly. Mm. Cassandra on the live stream says lots of peaceful protesters, no arrest of protesters, but over 24 anti-protesters were arrested. Weird.
Yep.
And she also goes on to say, I wish it could have gone to Appleton, but I had to work. Also, my mother-in-law went over the bridge in sock, and her head probably exploded. I'm assuming, Cassandra, your mother-in-law is a Trump supporter, if that's the case. But maybe her head exploded for democracy.
That could have been. She was so excited. We have news coming up next. And then when we return, Brian Stile and Gwen Moore appeared on WISN's Upfront over the weekend talking about the government shutdown. We'll do that when we come back. Mm-hmm. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network, Tactical Frivolity.
Mm.
Go with it.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
Start your day with me, Pam Yonke, every morning with the Midwest Farm Report, right here on 107.5 WLAK.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation is reminding residents to be on the lookout for deer at this time of year. According to a press release, drivers are at a greater risk of crashing into a deer in October and November as hunting seasons get underway and the hours of daylight decrease. There were over 17,000 crashes involving deer in the state last year, about a third of which occurred in October and November. St. Croix County in the northwest Wisconsin region also saw the third highest total of deer-related crashes last year, with nearly 800. The Wisconsin Department of Workforce Development is warning residents that its job support programs aren't receiving any federal funding during the ongoing government shutdown. According to agency officials, about 75% of their budget comes from federal sources. They're using carryover federal dollars and some state funding to keep their programs running for now, but without additional federal funding, some workforce initiatives could shut down. Officials are also expressing concerns about agricultural workers obtaining visas for next year. Hayward area residents are being invited to a number of family-friendly Halloween events beginning this week. The events aim to create a safer environment for kids to go trick-or-treating while also providing more entertainment for families. This week, the Seven Winds Casino Lodge and Conference Center will host a drive-through trick-or-treating event on Friday from 4:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m., and Barnes EMS will host a similar event on Saturday from 2 to 4. There will also be a larger Halloween celebration on October 31st in downtown Hayward from 4 to 7. The Rice Lake Area School District is inviting residents to participate in their local Empty Bowls event this month. The eighth iteration of the annual event will be held on October 30th at the Rice Lake High School cafeteria from 4:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. The funding raised at the event will go towards the district's Feed Our Kids backpack program, which provides students with non-perishable and easy-to-make foods to take home over the weekend to combat hunger and guarantee kids are having their nutritional needs met when they don't have access to school meals. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. K-pop Demon Hunters is a phenomenon kids can't seem to get enough of, and their parents can't seem to get the original soundtrack out of their heads. Buckle up, folks, or buy some earplugs, because the film is returning to the big screen for some Halloween sing-alongs. The Netflix animated fantasy adventure tells the story of a K-pop girl band that protects people from demons with song. Netflix is behind the theatrical release and is encouraging moviegoers to wear costumes. Pop Culture Jeopardy has been renewed for a season 2. In a related story, there's a show called Pop Culture Jeopardy, and it's already been on for a whole season. The show will be moving from Amazon Prime to Netflix and has the same answer with a question format as the actual Jeopardy. Host Colin Jost is currently in talks to return to the show, which should be back in 2026. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 107.5 WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air weekdays from 9 to 11 a.m.
I'm meteorologist Brandon Bormans. A breezy day with some showers developing in the afternoon, highs near 60. For tonight, some showers mainly in the evening, breezy with a low near 40. On Tuesday, some showers likely mainly during the first half of the day, breezy and raw, a high of only 45. Currently, it's 44.
This is Robert Pilot, host of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we talk about Native issues like treaties, protecting Mother Earth, and holding our elected officials accountable. You'll also hear from Turtle Island voices like Arvina Martin, State Representative Heather Keeler, Ruth Anna Buffalo, Dr. Anthony Stately, State Senator Mary Kunish, Robert Lilligren, and Bob Blake. Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Paul Jaconi Berry and Sean Hannish back with another great Wisconsin sports film. No Packers, no life.
Sean came across No Packers, No Life at the Wisconsin Film Festival and said, you got to see it. We got to see if we can do something. This movie is just such a great opportunity to really see the impact of Wisconsin culture halfway around the world in Japan. It is just so magical and joyful. Yeah. So I encourage everybody to come take a look.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app, Todd Allbaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. After a very disconcerting and busy news and sports weekend, we will sit down and discuss it all with our friend and colleague of Matt Nair on Air, Jay and Matt Nair. Join us.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4.
Tack it up, buddy, gonna shut you down.
Good morning and welcome, welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text, the number is the same, at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up later on today across the network, Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. She's joined for the entire show by Tom Pulsiewicz. They will go over day 20 of the government shutdown. Also, a recap of the No Kings. I know Maggie and Earl Ingram were downtown Milwaukee at Cathedral Square on Saturday. They'll also be talking to the founder of the Blue Anchor Project and official partner of No Kings to talk about what is next.
Great.
So that's coming up today. Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6 across the network. Over the weekend, Ryan Stile and Gwen Moore appeared on the Upfront program on WIS, and they do a really good job there.
Oh, God.
They do.
That team.
Yep.
Is that show is fantastic.
Yeah, it's fabulous. And they do ask hard questions.
Yes, they do.
Give them a lot of credit for that. Mm-hmm. Ryan Stile, Republican Ryan Stile, says the administration is in a very difficult position. When asked if he is behind the potential firing of up to 10,000 federal workers during the government shutdown, Stile said, quote, "I don't know that there's anything unusual in a shutdown. There's been very few of them over the years. Well, it's frustrating. We're in this position to begin with. Of course, there's well over a million federal employees outside the military. I think there's opportunities for efficiencies to be created inside our federal government workforce. That said, I think this is the kicker here. The best way to do this is through a thoughtful, structured process while the government is open." One could posit that a thoughtful, structured process is completely unknown to the Trump administration.
I mean, yeah.
If you had a thoughtful, structured process, you wouldn't come in and fire a bunch of people and then realize that among the people you fired is the one that has all the passcodes, and then you have to hire them all back.
If you had a thoughtful, structured process, you would never have allowed Elon Musk into any building in the federal government.
Yep.
And just for clarification, since 1980, this is the 11th shutdown. This is the third in Donald Trump's presidency. And
counting his first time around.
He accounts for almost a quarter. Math is mathing, but a lot of them happened under his watch.
They did,
and I don't. And the Republicans have been in charge of everything for all but one of them. Well, actually, no. If you look at the breakdown of all the shutdowns for Donald Trump, with the exception of 2 years, the Republicans have been in charge of every branch. Period, or every. Yeah, the House, the Senate, and the president. It's one, a shutdown is embarrassing. Don't act like it's, oh, this is, you know, this is what happened. No, this is not what happens when you can't get your junk together and just move us. And by the way, Jane, I just want to make something clear. We didn't shut down because it just couldn't work, because the CRs continually failed after a while. They kept on pushing continuing resolutions
right,
to make this work. But it wasn't like we just, oh, what's happening? This had been coming. We had been counting down shutdowns for a while now.
Absolutely.
And so Brian Stile saying that this is, it's so repugnant, because 10,000 people being fired, I want to try to find, were there 10,000 people fired during any of the other shutdowns? I don't think so.
Well, no. And Donald Trump has said during the shutdown, this is his opportunity to kill programs that Democrats like.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, feeding children.
Yes.
Like, I don't know, helping the elderly, things like that. Democrats, by the way, are demanding that subsidies for the Affordable Care Act be expanded as part of the deal to reopen the government.
Yes.
Now, from what I understand, and I might be wrong, but from what I understand, the Republicans are willing to sign a 1-year extension. The Democrats say that's not enough.
No.
Because in 1 year, we're going to be back where we are right now.
Yes.
And they're still going to be talking about cutting off and doubling or tripling people's monthlies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Will Westmoreland, who was on the show last week, said his is going to go from, like, I think, a few hundred dollars to like $1,800 a month. And that's what they want. They want to just keep holding on to those tax credits for those who are on the AC. They're not asking for a single payer. They're not asking for the world. They're asking for this one thing. And you listen to Mike Johnson, he makes it sound like it's the biggest inconvenience because they're asking now when they should be asking in December. No, this is something, if we're talking about December, it's going to be too late. Because by the time they get back into the office in the new year, people's premiums will go up.
Right.
So take care of it now. But he's using this as the, well, Democrats just can't get on board.
Well, and I also think that why on earth would the Democrats make a deal and assume that the Republicans will be good for it?
Yeah.
When you go back to the immigration deal, mm-hmm. that was a bipartisan that had been hammered out over many, many months. A bipartisan immigration reform bill was agreed upon and passed until Donald Trump came in and said, no, I want you to kill it so I can run on it. Mm-hmm. And they did.
Yeah. Yes.
Just important reminders.
Oh, absolutely.
Just little important reminders.
And just look at the way he treats universities. Look at the way he treats news stations or network stations. Look at the way he treats anybody he bullies, gets his way, and then he wants more. This is not about a compromise. This is about giving the bully your lunch money, and then he's going to bully you tomorrow for more. They don't back down. And there's no trusting this movement. There's no trusting these people. They don't care about us. They care about, once again, the two most important things to talk about in all of this is, one, the fact that we are going to be giving billionaires more of our money. We are going to get our taxes raised over time. We'll get a cut for a little bit. That'll be nice, but
and that'll be temporary.
It'll be temporary because that's what it was the last time.
That's right.
But billionaires will get more of our money.
And those will be permanent.
And
cuts.
Those will be permanent. That's what this should be. It's always this discussion. It's about the big, beautiful, disgusting bill for billionaires that enshrined that they would make more of our money back than we would. And also on the other, the Epstein files, they want to deter all attention from those two things, because next year in 2026, they're going to have to run on the fact that the government is going to be screwing people over in 2027. Cause that's when some of these huge Medicare, Medicaid cuts take place. So they're hoping we just get through it. Nobody notices. And when we do, they're going to blame the Democrats anyways.
Well, exactly. Brian Stile said over the weekend on WISN Upfront, we know that those enhanced subsidies in the ACA that go to insurance companies are rife with waste, fraud, and abuse. At a minimum, there needs to be significant changes to that program to root out waste, fraud, and abuse.
We're still talking about this?
This is Brian Stile. Where is your plan to replace the Affordable Care Act, otherwise known, by the way, as Obamacare,
because
they're the same thing. They have no plan.
They had a plan in 2016.
10 years ago. It was coming out in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
We have a great replacement plan. It's going to be better than anything. Everything will be. You get all free facelifts for everybody. they don't have a plan.
No.
Then when Donald Trump was running, he said he had concepts of a plan. Most recently, I believe it was last week, Speaker of the House Mike Johnson said they have pages and pages and pages of ideas.
I have pages and pages of jokes I've never done on stage. That's not the same thing as having an hour headlining set. This is ridiculous. This is, first of all, if there's waste, fraud, and abuse we need to talk about, then DOGE failed. If Brian Stile's saying this, then DOGE failed, because DOGE's job was to come in and find all the waste, fraud, and abuse.
Exactly.
Well, instead, they cost us hundreds of billions of dollars. They fired people they had to rehire back. We've been talking about that for months. So if Brian Stile says there's waste, fraud, and abuse, then DOGE must have just absolutely bit it, whiffed this one hard, because where are all the firings? Where are all the people on trial for fraud?
For fraud.
Because last time I checked, and I'm going to check my... fraud's a crime.
It is a crime.
So,
well, under this administration,
me nuts. So
you can
much.
Fraud it up and then get commuted and pardoned. That's how, I mean, it's easy. So.
Democratic Representative Gwen Moore was also on Upfront on WISN over the weekend. She scoffed at Republicans' proposal to pass a clean funding resolution, followed by a vote on Affordable Care Act subsidies. Quote, "Oh, excuse me, I had to take a sip of water to keep from choking on their word." Representative Johnson has already said he is going to do another rescissions package. They have cut money for health care funding, research, NIH funding, Sesame Street public broadcasting.
Yep.
They've destroyed the State Department. They promised that it's just as soon as we pass this continuing resolution, they're going to put through another rescissions package. And so this is, what do you call it, a three-card Monty game with their word. We need to get it on paper, unquote.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why would you trust them?
Yeah. I don't. I understand why the right, why MAGA, whatever you want to call it now at this point, would say things like, it's easy to say, pass a clean resolution. That sounds nice. It makes Americans go, well, yeah, just do that, and then you can do the thing, because that's what we do. Because there are some people still in this country, and God love them, and I'm not calling them out because I don't know their names, but they still think that, well, we can just get things, because that's what we've done in the past. We just, you know, it's been tough, and, you know, it's the government, but, you know, why not? Because they know that you think that way, and they know that they can act any way they want, and they do. And they are destroying this company.
Cassandra on the live stream says the only pages and pages I care about from the Republicans are the pages in the Epstein files. Yep. Good point there, Cassandra. You could, by the way, since they're on week 5 of their vacation, House members in particular.
I think this starts week 6.
Does it start week 6? They're off. You could contact Brian Stile.
How so?
Go to myvote.wi.gov, or you could just do a search for Brian Stile contact information. I'm sure that'll come up. You can call, leave a message, be nice, be polite.
Yep. Yeah, they probably won't pick up. They don't have staff, I think, or their non-essential staff has probably gone home. I will say also, call Gwen Moore. If you like the words that Gwen Moore is saying, that's another thing too, is if your rep or a rep here in Wisconsin is doing something you enjoy, call their office and tell them. That's important for them to know as well.
Yes.
And it's true. She's right. Like, they can sit here and say these things, but it's a spit take moment where you say, oh, well, you know, we need to get rid of the waste fraud. I thought we were doing that. I thought that was Doge. I thought that was an early 2025 fashion.
Terry from Wausau texting in on WXCO. The shutdown boils to thin-skinned Trump livid about the success of Obamacare and ACA. Oh, yeah. Anything good that President Obama did, he really wants to disappear because that really bothers
him. But you know what, though? Change one thing. Like, do what he did a while ago. Change one thing in Obamacare and make it like a little, because like, there are some ideas he has when it comes to prescription access. He's always talking about lowering prices on things.
1,500%.
Okay. Lower it on one thing. And then take credit for all of it. I'll let you have it as long as we can have the access. Like, I don't care at this point. This isn't about pride. You want to call it Trump Care? Call it whatever you want. If people can still get their health care, rock and roll.
When we return, what is going on
in Muskego?
In Muskego.
Yeah.
Free speech.
Mm-mm,
we'll kick that around on the other side. Stay with us. This is Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Shut it off, buddy. Now I shut you down.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Okay, all signed up. Easy. Now let's run payroll. What the?
Hey, girl. I'm you with more gusto.
Nice. Who's that?
New social media manager, hired and onboarded with gusto. And spoiler, we're kind of famous now.
Wait, we're famous?
Oh, well, I'm famous. Payroll, benefits, and HR. Designed and built for small businesses. Choose a future with gusto.
During Medicare's open enrollment, it's common to receive mailers and see TV commercials that say you're missing out on some benefits. Before you respond to these ads, turn to Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol. here to help you prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Don't be misled into enrolling in a plan that doesn't meet your health needs or cover your medications. Visit the Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol website at smpwi.org.
Did the average S&P 500 CEOs earn in less than 2 days what their typical worker earned in all of 2023? Yes. In 2023, the average S&P 500 CEO earned about $17 million, or about $46,849 per day, compared to under $64,000 per year for the average worker. Median figures were similar. CEOs made $16.3 million, while median workers earned about $81,000, equivalent to less than 2 days of CEO pay. High CEO compensation remains a stark contrast to the modest worker earnings across major U.S. companies. I'm Trisha Young for Wisconsin Watch. Fact briefs are bite-sized fact checks of trending claims produced by Wisconsin Watch and GigaFact. Read more at wisconsinwatch.org.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, our one, our only Cal Zone on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, you can always join us, call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. This is an article from the Wisconsin Examiner, Mary Beth Danielson, with the byline. It is a commentary piece that says, "Is there freedom of speech in Muskego?"
It's an interesting story.
It's a very interesting story, and we're going to include this in our show notes.
Yes.
So you can find it after the show is over. Go to civicmedia.us, look at the top, click on shows, scroll down to Matt Nair on Air, click on that, and then there's an archive of about the last 2 months worth of shows. Greg puts together all the show notes with all the articles that we talk about if you want to read further. I highly encourage you to read this article.
Please read this one and share it.
Jim Brownlow says he remembers that on January 6th of this year, he wrote with red, white, and blue chalk on the sidewalk in front of the Muskego Post Office, "Remember January 6th every November."
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks later, police came to his door. The property manager of the post office building, someone had vandalized the sidewalk, and he had to hire a cleaning service to clean it up. It was chalk.
It's chalk.
When the officers asked Brownlow if he had chalked the sidewalk, he said he had exercised his constitutionally protected free speech. He also said chalk can be washed off with soapy water and a broom. Well, yeah, it's
chalk. Or one rainfall and just wait.
2 weeks later, a different officer called him to tell him to come to the police station to ask sir more questions. Brownlow said no, he was busy. The officer said he'd call next week. On February 4th, a new officer called. Brownlow said he'd already said all he had to say. Within an hour, Three police officers and two squad cars showed up at his house. This is after he wrote in chalk, "Remember January 6th every November in front of the post office." Mm-hmm. That's what he wrote.
That's it. Nothing. No cuss words.
No swearing.
Didn't paint
it. No threats.
Didn't use a non-removable spray paint. This was children's sidewalk chalk.
Three officers and two squads show up at his house. Brownlow and his wife invited them in. It was cold. One of the officers said he was charged with criminal damage to property under $1,000 and was now under arrest and had to go to the station. Brownlow said he wouldn't do that without his attorney. He also said he wouldn't resist because he's 76 and doesn't want to break anything. Officers emptied his pockets, patted him down, cuffed him. Took him out the front door, drove him to the police station, cuffed to a bench. They handed him a summons to appear in court March 12th. At that time, Brownlow said he wouldn't pay guilty and pay a $900 fine, so he was given a trial date in August. 6 months later, before he could submit a motion to dismiss, this Muskego prosecutor told the judge the criminal damage charge had been dropped because it couldn't be proven in court.
Well, Jane, it's over, right?
No.
Oh.
Immediately, before Brownlow could figure out what was happening, they turned around and charged him with disorderly conduct. Same moment, same courtroom, same incident, same judge and prosecutor. He has a new court date now of November 7th.
And Jim Brownlow, you're going to read in this article, is not a, he's not an Antifa.
Oh, no.
He's not a recluse. He is a man who retired in his career as a middle school librarian. And I we don't have time to go over that, but the charges and the accusations people make against him for what he did, which once again was writing words in chalk on a sidewalk in front of a post office, all protected under the First Amendment, we thought. He has perfect responses to all of this. I really, really encourage you to go. In fact, you know what I'm going to do, Jane? I'm post this in the socials too.
Great.
Because we're talking about a lot of great things today, but I feel like that this article is a perfect example of people standing up for themselves and powers that be becoming scared and overreacting. I mean, this is time and money and energy. This is not just some like, oh, we're going to slap the cuffs on you, take it. Like, he's in court. He's talking to lawyers. This is a waste. This is waste and abuse.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Again, what was the horrific thing he wrote?
Mm-hmm.
He wrote in red, white, and blue chalk in front of the Muskego post office, "Remember January 6th every November."
That's it. Tell
wow.
me.
That was, wow.
Tell me the people who dislike us, because I know you're listening and watching. And by the way, as always, thank you for giving us your time. You don't have to do this. Tell us why this is such a chargeable offense, why this is so horrific, and why you don't believe this counts as freedom of speech. I need to know this, because to me, it's these little things that are happening. People are getting, and these are intimidation tactics.
Without a doubt. And as you said, this is going to cost Mr. Brownlow money.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what they do.
Yeah.
This is how you go after people. You might not necessarily end up with them in jail, mm-hmm. but you can bankrupt them.
And also, from a municipality standpoint, it's also costing the taxpayers.
Well, Cassandra says, I can't imagine how these cops feel. What a waste of their time.
I know. I mean,
you send three officers there in two separate squad cars because he's a dangerous criminal.
He's a 76-year-old man who made the comment that he didn't want to resist because he was afraid he'd break something. First of all, kudos for the joke. That was wonderful. But this is where we're at. This is where we're at. This is how it begins. And I need to know from people. Email it in. Jane says at Civic Media, tell me why what's happening to this man right now is good, justified, and makes us better as a nation.
PJ on the live stream says, this is one of those stories that shouldn't be a thing. You're
absolutely right.
News is coming up next. And then when we return, all the best commutations. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Stay close.
The
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Amazon's cloud computing service experienced a major outage today, disrupting services around the world, including Snapchat, Roblox, Amazon's Ring, and Alexa services. Most have now been restored as they continue looking into exactly what happened. Detectives in Paris keeping the Louvre closed for another day following the jewel heist on Sunday morning, the thieves making off with priceless French crown jewels.
The raid lasted all of 7 minutes before they escaped on scooters. But the gang seems to have dropped the 200-year-old crown of Empress Eugenie, Napoleon's wife. It was damaged but recovered at the scene.
That's ABC's James Longman in Paris outside the museum. Prince Andrew agreeing to give up his royal titles, including the Duke of York, following years of scandals and questions about his acquaintances, including one-time friend Jeffrey Epstein. President Trump hosting the Prime Minister of Australia at the White House, an Oval Office meeting coming up shortly. This is ABC News.
You're listening.